The following message was given by Brother Edwin Martin in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, June 5th, 2016. The title of the message is The Compound Spirit. Scripture verses are Exodus chapter 30, verses 25 through 30.
We turn our heart to you. We do need you this morning, that you would anoint your word, that you would anoint our ears, that you could speak to us. Lord, we do need you and depend on you.
Amen.
We pray in your precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I have to say, before I start the message, that this morning I had a fear that there are so many verses, so many portions, so many points, that we might just get the doctrine and not the reality. So I've been exercised to find and share what is. I was very helped by two words from Brother James: practical and practicable. If we are those who want to experience, enjoy the compound spirit, the life-giving spirit, we need three secrets.
Amen.
One, practice. Two, practice. Three, practice. We need to practice. How much time in a day are we in the Spirit? I don't know. I don't know how much, but we need more. Having said that, let's enjoy Exodus chapter 30, verses 25 and 30. Let's read it together. You shall make a holy anointing oil, fragrant ointment, upon it shall be a holy anointing oil. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and sanctify them, and serve me as priests. You may wonder why we read these verses. The thing is, the Old Testament is a book of pictures. And the holy anointing oil, compounded oil, is a picture of the Spirit. So that's why we use this. Here we see the revelation concerning the compound ointment, which was a compound of olive oil, which speaks of the Spirit, and four spices. I will not go over the spices, but they represent the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So, this compound Spirit, who is now the Spirit, again, we're not going to go over the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit, which is the compound Spirit, the all-inclusive process compound Spirit with divinity. And after the Lord's resurrection, with incarnation, which is humanity, human living, death, and resurrection, the cross in crucifixion, as the ultimate consummated triune God. There's nothing higher, there's nothing more important than this. This compound ointment was not given in chapter 1 of Exodus, not even in chapter 29, but it was given in chapter 30 after the whole description of the tabernacle. This indicates that the compound ointment is solely for the purpose of anointing God's dwelling place, the tabernacle, and the priests. We read all the verses in this portion before, how every item of the tabernacle was anointed, and also the priest was anointed. So we see the use given to the anointing oil. Anoint God's house and anoint the priests. So this is so important. So the compound ointment was only for this purpose. And I was touched by the end of verse 30. It says, "You shall anoint Aaron and his sons and sanctify them that they may serve me as priests." That means without the anointing oil, the priests couldn't serve.
Right.
How about us? Do we serve by our good nature? Do we serve by our goodwill? Or do we serve in spirit? This is so clear. And then we see something else in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Let's read that verse. "You yourselves also, as living stones, being built up
as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ."
Here we see our being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood. This is what the Lord desires and expects of us, that we're being built as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood. And actually, this is a reference to transformation for the building of the house. You might say, how come transformation? The beginning of the verse says, "You yourselves also as living stones," not as mud, not like Adam was created, but as living stones, because verse 4 says, "Coming to him a living stone." So we have life and we're transformed for the purpose of being the house of God, for the purpose of serving as priests. So we see this here, transformation for building up.
Amen.
So we have a spiritual house, and we have a holy priesthood. Although Peter did not address his two epistles to any church, he even doesn't mention the word church, but surely the spiritual house is the church, and we all are priests. So that brings us to John 7:38. Let's read it together. "He who believes into me, scripture said, is living being." It was quite interesting that a brother prayed about rivers of living water. I I must say I have trouble with this verse. I don't think I have rivers of living water flowing out of me. But this is what the Bible says. So, if we don't have rivers flowing out, we're short, right? How we need to be those who have rivers of living water, water of life. Of course, this refers to the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say river, but rivers. The fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, righteousness, comfort, humility. This should flow out of our spirit, out of the depths of our being. This is Christ as life. So we need to see this. And then in verse 39, let's read that together. But this he said concerning the Spirit. Spirit was not yet. The Spirit was not yet. Well, we know very well that the Spirit was in creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, right? The Spirit was there. And we heard yesterday that the Spirit was there for life. So, how come it says the Spirit was not there? Well, because up to this point, the Spirit of God had only divinity. It was the Spirit of God. That's why we can say he was not there yet. And it says because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Luke tells us clearly that when the Lord resurrected and he met those disciples on the road to Emmaus, he was glorified. So at that time, the Spirit of God became the all-inclusive Spirit. And in John 20:22, the Lord breathed the Spirit into his disciples, which was something it could not happen before. When the Spirit was just the Spirit of God with divinity only, it was not available to the disciples. And this is the Spirit that Christ had promised before his death in John 14, 16, and 17. So, now the Lord Jesus is the Spirit, and he has the essence and reality of incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection. So, before Christ is resurrected, such a Spirit was not yet. So, the all-inclusive Spirit constantly puts us where? Do you think the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, puts us in the heavens? No, he puts us in the cross. And we see this in Romans 8:13. Let's read this verse. For us. By the Spirit, death, and this is all the body, you will live. Very interesting verse. This does not say
that the Spirit puts to death. Right? What does it say? If by the Spirit you put to death. So this is an active, passive voice, which means we must take the initiative. We don't just sit down and say, okay, Lord, please, may the Spirit take care of my sins, may the Spirit take care of my nasty nature, etc. No, we take the initiative. Lord, deal with what I am. May I apply the cross to you. So that means that we have to cooperate with the Lord. Otherwise, nothing happens. So this is a Christian life. A Christian life is a life of experiencing the compound spirit. Everything related to the Christian life is wrapped up with the compound spirit, where you have holiness, victory, life, light, power, and real spirituality. We don't need a bunch of how-to books. We just need to practice the spirit. The compound spirit, here's the good news. The compound spirit is everything we need in the Christian life. We don't need anything else. That's why I'm concerned about doctrines. You know, we can know the doctrine of the compound spirit, and then we hear something or we read something in the Word, say, oh, I know, yeah, right, compound spirit. That's not reality. We need the experience. The doctrine is not enough. Of course, we need the doctrine first, but that's just the beginning. So may the Lord open our eyes that we realize that Christian life is totally dependent on the compound spirit. Not a matter of teaching, yes, initially, but it's not a matter of improvement, adjustment, or correction. The Christian life is absolutely a matter of the compound spirit. We may apply the compound spirit to everything in our life, to our home life, to our job life, to our church life. We should live the Christian life according to the teaching of the compound spirit. So that brings us to Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. We all are clear that the biggest revelation in the Bible is when the Lord told Peter, I will build my church. Well, here is a matter that we must take care of if we are to build the church. We have to be what? We have to walk worthily in verse 1. Walk worthily of the calling which you were called. How can we walk worthily? With all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another in love, being diligent to keep the oneness. What kind of oneness? Of our good nature, of our humility, of how good we are? No, the oneness of the Spirit. So we need to be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit so that the church can be built
up. Now, oneness is different from unity. Unity means people come together. But oneness is of the spirit, strictly of the spirit. So, praise the Lord, we are one. We're one in the spirit. We can illustrate this, and we have illustrated this many times, by the lights. The lights are all individual lights, and actually, you can turn them off and on individually, but the electricity makes them all one. Likewise, the Spirit can make all of us one. Praise the Lord. To keep the oneness is to keep the life-giving Spirit. Then that brings us to Romans 8:14. Let's read it together. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. I am very, very touched by this verse. You might say, why? Because I always desire to do God's will, to do what God wants me to do. And I always have in mind when the Lord rebuked those who said, oh, we have done this and that for you. And the Lord said, I never knew you. We don't want to do what, if we ever have free time, yeah, then not that much free time we have. But if we ever have free time, that we can do what the Lord wants us to do. Sometimes we may have two or three things to do. It's good. Lord, what should I do first? That we could be those who are led by the Spirit of God. Then we can see how do we get the leading of the Spirit. It is not by praying. Yes, sure, we have to pray. But we will see how that is. You know, I was reminded in the book of Exodus, it tells us when Israel was in the wilderness, one key item was God guided them in the day by cloud, at night by fire. So the Lord guided them, and the interesting thing is they had to be ready any time that cloud or that fire moved, they go. So this was so crucial, so important. Later on, when they had the priesthood, the high priest was the one who got the message for God, from God. And the way he God, it was very unusual. In his clothing, there were two shoulder plates, and those two shoulder plates had the 12 names of the 12 tribes of Israel, 6 on one and 6 on the other shoulder. And the Hebrew alphabet has 29 characters, and in the plates, there were 24. And then he also had in his chest something called Urim and Thummim. Don't ask me what that is. The Bible doesn't explain. There you had 5 characters. So these characters would lit up. And that's how God could speak to the people of Israel. So this was a very crucial thing. This is the way the Lord led them. And then after, there were prophets who told the people what God wanted. So this was so important to the people of Israel. They couldn't do anything as far as traveling, they couldn't travel unless God told them to. So the leading of the Spirit does not derive nor depend upon outward things. You may say, oh, I want to go shopping. If the bus comes right now, that means God wants me to go. Or some other silly thing. No, it doesn't depend on outward things. It depends on the inward sense of life, of the life of God. You know, it's so good when we're not sure, when we're not clear. Just stop and see, what is the sense in your spirit? Do you have life or you have death? That's the way we can be led. So now there is two items that tell us how we can be led of the Spirit. Let's read Romans 8, 4 and 6. That righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So here we find the two items that enable us to be led by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit and set our mind on the Spirit, especially to set our mind on the Spirit. Our mind that always gets into trouble has to be set on the Spirit. Then we can have the leading of the Spirit. And it's so good when you're doing something because the Lord told you to do it, not because you wanted to do it. So we need to practice this, to have our mindset on the Spirit and to walk by the Spirit. Then we can be led of the Spirit. And then what happens in very interesting, again in verse 14, these are sons of God. Later on, it tells us that the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. But here, it doesn't say children of God, it says sons of God. So, in order to mature, we need to be led by the Spirit. If we are led by the Spirit would put a mark on us that will set us as different. We are different from the world. We're different from unbelievers. We're different from even our family, our job. And you know, in the job, you always have a boss who likes you to be nice to him. He makes a joke and you have to ha ha ha. We are different. And he wants you to drink, and we don't drink. We are different because the Spirit sets a mark on us. We're different from all the unbelievers. So we must live and walk according to the leading of the Spirit. For this, of course, we need an adequate contact with God. Who among us has a adequate contact with God? This is so difficult. We're all so busy. We have to pray. Lord, remind me to spend more time with you. You know, Daniel prayed three times a day, morning, noon, and night. We need to at least pray three times a day. Hopefully more than that. Then we can have an adequate contact with God, and we can say, Lord, make home in my heart, Ephesians 3:17a. When the Lord makes home in our heart, He really can lead us because He has our mind, emotion, and will. So we must learn in the presence of the Lord to be dealt with by Him in two aspects. Especially our disposition and everything that's from the old man. Then that brings us to Exodus. Exodus chapter 21, verses 5 and 6. Let's read it together. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to God and shall bring him to the door of the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl. He shall serve him forever. This is a picture of what the Lord does with us if we ask Him to. He will do something with our ear so we can hear. I especially appreciate this because I have hearing aids. And in Isaiah 50, we're not going to read that. In Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5, it tells us the Father opened the Son's ears so He could hear. The Lord does the same thing with us. Then that brings us to Luke 1:53. Let's read that together. The hungry He has filled with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. You're going to say, what in the world is this talking about? The emphasis is in the word hungry. You know, there are things we like, there are things we appreciate, and we may be hungry for them. Are we hungry for the Lord? In order for us to be the proper Christians, in order for us to build the church, we need to be hungry. How hungry are we? Well, I'll give you an example. I expose myself. When I get up, I go to have morning watch, but my first thought is not that. My first thought is that I'm going to be in the living room in a recliner with some water next to me. Then I repent, no, I'm going to have morning watch. You know, we are this way. The Lord needs to be so real to us, so real that we're hungry, that we desire, that we have such a longing to be with the Lord, that we appreciate so much being with the Lord. Then we need to have not only hunger, but a dissatisfaction. This is exactly the point. The hungry, right? He has filled with good things. We need to be hungry. Hungry for the Lord. And this can be a salvation to our soul. Lord, how much hunger do I have? We have to pray. Lord, Lord, keep my hunger. Develop my hunger. Maintain my hunger, that my hunger might grow. Then that brings us to the last portion, that is Matthew 25, verses 1. Well, let's read verse 1 first. At that time, the kingdom of the heavens was likened to 10 virgins, took the lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Actually, we are supposed to be chaste virgins as far as the Lord is concerned. Whether we're a male or a female, to the Lord, we are virgins. And this is what the Lord desires of us, that we will be clean from the old man, from the world, from everything that is not Christ. And then it says that the virgins took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Lamps signify the spirit of the believers in Proverbs 20:27, which contains the spirit of God as the oil. Here, what we see is the need of oil. So they go out with their lamps means they go up to light the dark world for God's glory, for testifying, shining, and enlightening. And this reminds me of what we covered when we covered the lampstand. When we come to the meeting, we need to light up the lamps. We need to be a testimony. Let's read verses 2 and 3. And five of them were foolish, and five were prudent, but the prudent took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Okay. Here it says that they were foolish and they were prudent. The foolish, it's not that they didn't have oil. They had oil in their lamps. They had oil in their spirits. But the prudent have oil in their vessels. According to Romans 9, we are vessels to contain God. Okay, what is the vessel? The soul is our personality, is what we are. The soul is the vessel that has to contain the oil, the spirit. How we need this? Again, this is the salvation of our soul, that we could have oil in our soul. That means that the spirit would spread from our spirit to our soul. And then we can really experience being prudent. So how we need this, we desperately need this. We need to be very clear about the lamps and the vessels. The spirit is the lamp, and the vessel is the soul. Through regeneration, we have the spirit of God, and this causes the lamp to light up and to burn. But we need the extra portion of the oil in our soul. This is what we need. We need an extra amount. So we need this extra portion so the Spirit could fill our entire being. This is what we need. Saints, I trust that I have not given mere doctrine. I trust that I have shared with you something practical and practicable. Praise the Lord.